Parsons?
Lech Lecha. Parsons Lech Lecha. We're going to talk about who Eliezer was. And really, this is the only time in the entire Torah where Eliezer's name is mentioned. There is no other mention of Eliezer, even though there's an entire parsha of Eliezer going down and taking care of Laban and getting Rivka, etc., and everything like that. Eliezer's name is not mentioned. And in fact, over here, we're going to see, not everyone agrees that Eliezer is an actual name. Pasuk says, Vayomar Avram Hashem Elokim. Parak Tezvav, Pasuk Beis. Avram said, Hashem Elokim, Matitinli, what can you give me? Vanochi Elechariri, I'm walking childless. Ben Meshach Beis Yud Domestic Eliezer. Now, this is going to be a hard line, but the officer of my household is the Damascian Eliezer. Vayomar Avram, and Avram then said, Hein Lino Lesatzatara, you have not given me any children. Hein Ben Beis Yorishosi, and a child of my household is the one who is inheriting me. So Rashi says in Pasuk Shat, and this makes the most sense, Domestic means he was from Damascus. That makes the most sense. He then quotes a Medrash that says he was called from Damascus because he chased after the four kings all the way to Damascus. So in other words, Pasuk Shat, he was from Damascus. But in the Medrash, he chased the four kings to Damascus, so he was called Eliezer of Damascus based on his warring exploits. All the things that he used to do and fought against and all the people that he used to take care of. That's the reason why he was called that way. Targum Yonason says, through Eliezer, Avram was able to have tremendous miracles happen to him in Damascus, and therefore he named his Eved this. Remember, Eliezer may have been the only person who fought with them against the four kings. I'm going to be very careful with this, by the way. The whole shiur, I'm going to be calling him Avram, even though he is obviously Avraham. The reason why is because at the time when all this is happening, Avram is Avram. He is not yet Avraham. Now, the Ksav HaKabbalah says the word Meshek comes from the word Shokek. To be Meshokek means to want to do something and to continuously do it and be a pure servant in that. So he was Meshek Basi, the guy who purely did everything with a shkika, with a desire and a true drive to do it correctly. But the Torah to me, it says an unbelievable kiddush. He says, we find throughout the Torah that certain words are not Hebrew, and they're used to describe something. Does anybody know a word in the Torah that is definitely not Hebrew? I'm sorry? Yagar Sadus is a very good call. That's the name that Laban used to name the bris between him and Yaakov. Anybody know another one? Sofnas Paneach. Very good. Paro itself, right? We say Moshe is not a real name. We've got a couple others, right? You have Totafos for Tfilin, where the Gemara says that it means two in different languages. You have Totafos. You have Kisit, Kisita, the amount of a coin. The word domestic, he says, be careful with this, is a French word. You know what domestic stands for? Domestic Eliezer is domestic Eliezer. The word domestic is a servant in French. He says it was never a Hebrew word. It was never an Aramaic word. When we refer to Eliezer who was domestic, it's referring to the domestic Eliezer who served Avram Avinu in everything he did. Never heard that before in my life. And if you knew that, I would give you $1 billion for that. Because that is the craziest shot of all time. You're a liar. There's no question. But this shows how much he was mishabed to his master. He was the domestic Eliezer. On the other hand, the Medrash Rabbah says, there is no, it seems to say, I should say, there's no such person as Eliezer. Eliezer really doesn't exist. This whole pasuk refers to Lot, not Eliezer. And there is no Eliezer. There is an Eved Avram at some point, but we have no idea what his name is. And Eliezer here is a description. What happened is, there's someone who's going to inherit my possession, says Avram. He says, Ben Meshek Basi, the one that I was willing to fight and chase away the kings for to Damascus, that I was willing to go and do it, Hashem helped me do it. Eliezer. God was my help in doing so. And that's it. That's it. Meaning Eliezer is not a name. Eliezer is a description of what Avram did to save Lot, his only inheritor. But there is no Eliezer. There is no such person that exists that's really Eliezer. Obviously that's not Pshat, right? There's another servant that goes out to go get Rivka. But it's a crazy Pshat, he says, the Medrash Rabbah, that it's never referring to Eliezer in the first place, referring to Lot. Now Rashi brings another explanation from Yuma Chof Chasim Abayz. He says the word Damesek really is an abbreviation. It's an otriko, and it stands for Dole Umashke Mitoras Rabo Le'acherim. He drew out and gave the Torah of his Rebbe, the Torah of his Rebbe Avraham Avinu, he gave it to others. He made them drink what it is, his Musar, his Hanhagos, and his Torah. He was able to give it to everybody else. It's Pharisee Onus and Rabbi Onus actually says this includes secrets of how the world works, how the world runs, and how things happen. That's what he does over here, which he always assumed he would be able to tell his kid, but he doesn't have a kid yet. He realized he was only going to be able to give it to his servants, and that was going to be it. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says, Basi, who domestic Eliezer, is the same gematria as Ba V'dole U'mashke Torah Lakol, 1196 altogether. I give him kudos for going all the way up to 1196 in a gematria in order to come out with something. But he says those two are connected, that domestic Eliezer is Dole U'mashke over here. Now the Shame Mishmuel, the Hasidic Rebbe, great Rebbe, says Eliezer was like a bucket that acts as an intermediary getting the water in a well to you, the drinker. The bucket grabs the water, brings it out, and gives it over to somebody else. Eliezer was the middleman from the Rebbe to his students. Listen, Avram Avinu could not deal with everybody. Avram was able to deal with certain people, but he couldn't talk to everyone. There was no way. When Avram convinced them that they should believe in God, when he got them to come to Shir and to do certain things, he would then send Eliezer as the middleman to deal with everybody specifically. You, Eliezer, deal with their issues and everything else. Eliezer was the middle guy for that. I'm sorry? A soul mason, so to speak, yes. And he was the Rosh Yeshiva, the Reish Masifta, so to speak. But he was the one that did it right in the middle. He was the middleman, and therefore he was the perfect middleman to go find a wife for Yitzchak. He is the definition of what a middleman is. A dli, a bucket. Dolet umashke, mitoris rabo lacherim. That's the concept. Torah Tumima and the Marshan, the Yuma says, this idea makes more sense than the other two above. That he was from Damascus, or that he was chased to Damascus. They say, if a person is named after a city, it's Eliyahu HaTishbi, right? We call him Eliyahu HaTishbi, the name that describes you is second. We have Yiftach HaGilazi. Over here it should be Eliezer HaDamaski. If he really was from Damascus, it should be Eliezer of Damascus. It should be Eliezer HaDamaski. Since it says Damesek Eliezer, since it says that he was domestic Eliezer, it must be domestic is something totally different. It's describing what he does. Not where he's from, but what he does. He's Dolo Mashmi Torah Rabo. Now, the problem with this is simple. Avram is complaining he doesn't have anyone to give his stuff to. He has no one, no child to be able to give it to. So what does he say? Well, I have Eliezer, who is the greatest Rosh Hashiva, who's Dola Mashkini Toras Rabo. Why was Eliezer a bad choice? Why couldn't you give it over to Eliezer? Why was the Rebbe, I hate to put it this way, because it's Avram Avinu, why was he being so stingy? No, God, I want a student, I want a son. My students are not good enough. I understand what it means to have a child, but he had great students, a student who mamish was Dola Mashke. He gave of himself to others. Why is that a problem? What's the complaint? Yeah, David. Agreed, but then you wouldn't complain about it. You'd wait for the promise to come true. What's he complaining about? That this guy seems to not be good enough. What's not good enough about him? What is he doing that's bad? So Reb Moshe says, it's an indictment. He was able to get the Torah of his Rebbe. He could come up with no kedushim on his own. He was only dole umashke mitoras rabo, but he had nothing that was torasso, his own Torah. There was nothing there. He was unable to make his own. He had no kinyan on the Torah itself. It could be, and Reb Moshe is postulating when it comes to this. He doesn't know, because how do we know about Eliezer? Postulating, maybe he wasn't moser nefesh for Torah properly, the way a true person should, in order to come out with kedushim. To get a kedush means you have to strengthen yourself, you have to make yourself powerful, you have to build yourself up. Maybe he wasn't moser nefesh properly the way that he should have. And for that he said, I want someone who's going to be moser nefesh. I want somebody who's going to work harder for this. Not just a brilliant man who's able to memorize what I'm saying and repeat back like a parrot what I'm doing. I want somebody who's going to take my Torah and make it even greater. That's what I want over here. Not just somebody like that. The Beis Yisrael, the Gera Rebbe, says that Avram begged Hashem to have a child who would be able to figure out God for himself. Not someone who had to get it from me. I want a child that even without me, he would have figured out God on his own. He would have been monotheistic. And that's the shot. He wanted another Av. Not a Talmud. Not somebody mitoras rabo. I want another Av, so to speak. Another prototype. And that's exactly what Yitzchak was. Yitzchak Avinu found God in his own way. Not through the chesed of Avram Avinu, but through the midas hadin, through the gvura of Yitzchak. That's what he was able to do. That's why in our Shemona Esrei we say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. It's a different Elokei by each one. Each one was a different, literally like a different world of Torah. And that's the pshat. Avram Avinu was not looking for a ben. He wanted an Av. He wanted another Av that would be just as great. Something that unfortunately Eliezer did not have within him. This is something that Eliezer did not have. The Maharam Mipilt. I have no idea who this is. No clue. I've never heard of him before. But he's quoted from a paper for the Mayana Shel Torah. He says it was never meant to be a compliment to Eliezer. It was always supposed to be an insult. And he's saying to Hashem, how can a person who doesn't make his own chidushim, how could such a person be my yorish, my inheritor? That makes no sense. I can't believe that something like that would happen. Rav Tzadok HaKohen in Tzidkas Tzadik number 118 says Eliezer had no ability to come up with chidushim because he was a pure eved. We all know Mashakana Eved Kana Rabo. Everything that Eliezer thinks about, his Rebbe automatically got in Shemayim. So there was no actual chidushim that came through there. And maybe through his humility, maybe that's true. But the pshat is he couldn't come up with anything new. What's up, Paul?
I don't understand. Then why did he have the right to go, you know, pick out a wife for Eliezer back?
Even better. I hear what you're asking. I think it's exactly that. Not the origin, but what he can do is he is perfect. He is Avram. Yeah. He's like an extension of Avram. Whatever Avram wanted or needed or thought, that's what Eliezer was. Eliezer was the perfect extension. That's not what Avram wanted. Avram wanted somebody who was going to be different for his, you know, somebody a successor. He wanted somebody like Yitzchak as a successor, but somebody who's going to represent him to find the perfect wife that he would think is perfect for Yitzchak, that was Eliezer. There's no one greater. I think that's really the reason why he sent him in that way. Yeah, Natalia.
Did he send Shliach to marry her?
He's asking good. There's a whole big. If you look at the Parshan Chayisara, it's very interesting where the whole time Eliezer is Eved Avraham Anochi. He's the Eved of Avraham, right? At the very, very end, when they see Yitzchak, Rivka turns and says, "Who is that?" He says, "That is my master." And the problem is, that's not his master. That's my master's son, is the way you should have said it. What you're asking is very sharp. When did that change? Yes, you need somebody to represent you, not represent your father, right? When trying to make a wife. At some point when Eliezer was making the Kiddushin, he was given over to Yitzchak. How Avram made that Kinyan with Tanoim and conditions, I don't know. But at the point when he gave the Kiddushin, he became Yitzchak's Eved, and an Eved can be Konis something for the master. That is exactly it. And by the way, if you notice, Eliezer, when he gave the rings over to Rivka Yimenu, he never said, Hariat Mekudeshes Li Yitzchak. But he didn't say that. He gave the rings over without saying anything, really. The pshat is because Eliezer was Yitzchak. Eliezer was an Eved. If he's an Eved, then he represents his master no matter what. So when an Eved gives Kiddushin to a lady, it's automatic that the lady who accepts the Kiddushin is married to the master as opposed to the Eved. That's one way of looking at it. But it's a very, very hard kasha to answer. That's a good kasha. I like the kasha. That's Rav Tzadok. Rav Chaim Kanievsky even asks, how can you teach Torah to a slave? It's also... There's a Gemara that mentions, I don't remember, Ksuvis, Chavches, says, I'll start to teach your Eved Torah. How could he teach his Eved Torah? And the answer is, Eliezer never learned Torah. He sat, I shouldn't say it, Avraham Avinu never taught Eliezer Torah. Eliezer sat around, listened to everything, and took it all in, like Tevi, the servant of Rebbe Gamliel. He took it all in, right, and he became a tremendous Talmud Chacham out of it. Maybe that's why Avraham Avinu was so worried. He was like, what, this is my Yorish? I can't even teach him anything. I can't teach him anything. He overheard everything, and he's a genius. She's able to get everything, but that can't be the person who's taking over from me. That's the idea behind it. The Me'ash Shiloh says even deeper. He says, Avraham Avinu had his doubts about Eliezer. He doubted that Eliezer was actually doing things L'Shem Shemayim. He saw what Eliezer was doing. Eliezer was learning and getting involved in learning and doing things like that, but did he really mean it? Avraham Avinu was never convinced. He looked at him and said, yeah, he's a great guy. He does some great things, but is he the person who's going to do it? Is he going to have like his real thing? If Eliezer is Og, then Avram's fears were extremely spot on. Because he knew what this was. There is a medrash, and we mentioned it before, that Eliezer was Og Melech HaBashan. If he was, then it makes a lot of sense that he had a lot of legitimate fears of what Eliezer was going to be. After all, we all ask the question, what happened to the Nefesh HaShos B'char and all the Geirim of Avraham Avinu? Where'd they all go? And the answer would be, well, if Eliezer is Og, then he took them all and he went to Bashan with them. He created his own little religion with his own little space, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was so afraid. This is the servant of Avraham Avinu that I'm fighting against when he went up against Og. It's not just anybody, right? It's really Moshe Rabbeinu going up against Torah's Avraham that Eliezer was the student of in some way. So yeah, that would be something like that. And Rav Schwab says that literally is the worry that he had more than anything else. Avram knew Eliezer was going off. It wasn't going to happen now while Avram was alive. It was going to happen. Eliezer is going off. Whether he became Og Melech HaBashan or if he became something else entirely, whatever he did, Eliezer was not staying on. He knew his teachings would last for a generation or two. But he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, I don't want an Eved. I want a son. A child will keep it and give it to his son. And that child will give it to his son. My legacy will last forever. But if you give it to an Eved, I'm not going to last. It's just not going to happen. I know that that's not going to happen. There's no Schutz Avos, no Siyata Deshmaya in such a person. There's nothing I can do. What do you want me to do with that? Now, the Sforno says that Avram meant he wanted to ask for a child more than anything else, even if he was very great, because the difference between an Eved and a Ben is very simple. An Eved does everything for his master out of fear. A son does everything for his father out of love. I don't want a person who serves me out of fear. Even if it's awe, fear. It doesn't matter. I don't want fear. I want a person who serves me and does what I want out of love. I want the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Avodas Hashem that he does, to stem from Ava. Ava. Pure Ava. And that's that. And this Eved cannot do so, says the Sforno. He can't do it. The whole limud is different. My whole limud, I think of what Avram Avinu stood for. Avram Avinu stood for Chesed. Stood for Ava. That method of Torah cannot be taught by an Eved who's doing everything out of Yira and Gevura. I can't have it go through an Eved. It has to be through a son. It doesn't work in any other way. Sfas even says that he was so worried. He knew that there were going to be children over here, but he had no idea how to give over his co-host to Eliezer. There's just so many things, so many strengths that he had that he felt he couldn't give over. He wasn't sure what to do, and Hashem had to assure him, don't worry, it will be a child. It's going to be a son. You're going to get that over there. Now, the Chizkuni says that Eliezer was a child of Nimrod. Now, I will tell you, there's a lot of Midrashim on who exactly Eliezer was. If he's Og, then we know he's going to be for the Mabel. It could have been there were two Ogs. There's a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that seems to indicate, according to Reb David Luria, that there are two Og Melech HaBashans. One Og Melech HaBashan that lived earlier, one that lived later. It could be the... I'm sorry? How did Og? I don't know. He just looked up and he's like, there's a guy. I saw a guy. I have no idea. Honestly, I have no idea. But if that's there, there's another message that says that Eliezer was a child or a grandchild of Nimrod. Grandchild was brought down by the Chizkuni. Another message, Seder HaDoros, says he was the son of Nimrod. Nimrod, we all know, came from Canaan. Came from Canaan originally. He's part of the children of Chum. If you go all the way through, he was the one that came from there. In 1998... I'm sorry? Yeah, no. It wasn't a stop. This is exactly it. In 1998, Avram was thrown into the Kibshan Aish. And when he came out from the Kibshan Aish, Nimrod gave him two of his servants. Even Nimrod was convinced at that time. Nimrod gave him two of his servants. But by the way, if we hold this way, that means the Kibshan Aish happened when Avram Avinu was 50 years old. 1948 is when Avram Avinu was born. 1998 would be the Kibshan Aish, according to this parish. I'm sorry? Ur Kasim. That's what it seems like, according to this medrash. I know there are other opinions, but this is one opinion that happened right then. Nimrod gave him two servants. One of them was Eliezer. It sounds from that medrash that he wasn't Nimrod's child. He was Nimrod's servant. Elsewhere in the year 2088, he says Eliezer was the son of Nimrod, not the grandson, and was suspected of doing something wrong to Rivka Imenu, that somehow Rivka Imenu was no longer a Besua, and they blamed Eliezer Eben Avram. And when they realized he was innocent, they gave him a bracha. And this is the famous thing. Did they bless him with long life in this world, that he would be Og Melech HaBashan? Or did they bless him that he would go to Olam Haba alive? And I realize those are two very divergent paths. Right? It's possible, right? But there is an opinion. In Derech Eretz Zuta, at the end of the first parak, if you don't know what Derech Eretz Zuta is, well, it's time to start learning. But Derech Eretz Zuta is at the end of Masechta Avodah Zarah. There's a bunch of small Masechtas. One of them is Derech Eretz Zuta. At the end of the first parak, it mentions Eliezer ben Avram went to Gan Eden alive, and it's based on this medrash because he was Avram Avinu was choshed b'chsherim, gave him a bracha, and the bracha was that he should live a long, long time and make it to Gan Eden alive, and that's what's going to be over there.
Do we generally hold he's a good guy, and we obviously name kids after him?
Eliezer?
Yeah.
The question is if we named after Eliezer ben Avram or Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus. Is Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus named after Eliezer ben Avram? The name is awesome. Eliezer. God is my helper. My God helps me. Right? However you want to put it. The name is awesome. But I don't know if it's directly related to that. But yes, we hold Eliezer did a great job. When he became Og, nobody names their kid Og. You know why Og got his name? Does anyone know where that name came from? No. That's not it. Does anyone know the name? It's okay. It's brought down in the Medrash that he loved Sarai Imenu's cakes. the Ugios that she used to serve him. That's what it is. It's brought down. That is where the name Og comes from. There is a Tzadik HaKohen that says something crazy, which is not meant to be said publicly, but there is an unbelievable that is about the circle, and Og is a circle, Og is a circle. Unbelievable stuff. You'll remember it. It's whatever. Just don't think about it, and then you'll probably live a long life. But his Neshama says Eliezer, it says this Seder Adoros, the Neshama of Eliezer was originally from the side of evil. He perfected it and turned it into something that became more Kaddish. He became an Eved and became Baruch. He ended up being blessed. And eventually it was Miskalgal into Kalev ben Yefuna. Why Kalev ben Yefuna? Because there is a person who listened to his Rebbe and did exactly what he told him. There's an unbelievable Gemara in Bava Basra, Nun Chesmet Aleph, that talks about Rabbana going to measure the cave of Ma'aras and Machpelah and meets up with Eliezer, Eved Avram, outside the cave. And he asks Eliezer what Avram Avinu is doing, and he says he's together with Sarai, something weird, a really weird Gemara, that is connected to the whole pasuk of Kalev ben Yefuna visiting Maris Machpelah to get strength against the Meraglim. They're connected to one another.
Ben Yefuna, then it couldn't have been
Og. Neshamas can split, but you're right. Normally I would say that was going to be there, right? That's that. That is the easy answer, and until I learn Kabbalah completely, I'm going to go with that. The Fiskuni says there's a pause here. There's one pasuk and then another pasuk, and it's weird. Bez and Gimel are both Avram Avinu talking. If you look on page one, it's Vayomer Avram and then Vayomer Avram. He says twice. Where's God's response in between? Why is Avram talking twice? What's the pshat? Says the Fiskuni, we see this quite often in Chumash. It's not a unique thing. It's okay. We'll see a guy talking and then another guy talking right after that. Something probably happened, but the Chumash didn't feel it was important enough. Now, what's interesting here is that God's response is not important enough. That's what we're saying over here. According to Chizkuni, it doesn't need to be said. Which means here, the in-between of God's statement just is not, to me, that's a little bit weird. But Rashi says, the first pasuk is really saying, this is Avramin's complaint, and then Avramin realizes, he says, there's no toelis from anything, if there's no child inheriting, and that's what he's saying. The Sforo is upshot, the Ramban is upshot, the Netzivah is upshot, he's reiterating his issues, going with her again, and saying, God, I don't have a child, God, I don't have a child. Like screaming, so to speak, like, what do you want me to do? Like saying that one after the other. But the Sforno says something very, very different. He said, first of all, I don't have any children, and that's the first pasuk. Second of all, even if I do have children at this age, even if I end up having a child in my old age, I know I'm going to die soon. He didn't realize he's living to 175. He thinks he's 75 years old. He's getting older. I'm going to have a child. And then what's going to happen? I'm going to die soon afterward. And my son won't be mature enough to make proper business decisions. So all my money is going to go to an apotropis. Who's going to be the apotropis for my child? It's going to be Eliezer. I believe I'm going to have a child, said Avraham Avinu. I know I'm going to have a child. You promised me a child, God. Three times you promised me a child in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. Three different times. I know I'm going to have a child, but I think the child's going to be born when I'm dying, and then Eliezer and Avram is going to take care of him for me. Eliezer Avram is going to be the person in charge, and that's not going to be good. That's not going to be good for my child. Eliezer is going to do everything. He'll make a chazaka on all of my fields and leave my child with nothing. My child will be left with absolutely nothing. That I can't handle. Yeah.
Why wouldn't Saruman be that potrimus?
They didn't do it by woman back then.
They didn't do it by woman.
Yeah, I don't think so. And who says Saruman was also old? Who says she's going to be alive? Yeah. Who says she's going to be alive for this? I'm telling you, this shot of the Sforno is also said by the Chizkuni, the Peneach Raza, Moshe of Zakenim, and the Tur. The Maral Diskin even suggests that maybe Lot is going to take over. He didn't know what's going on. But if my child is born in my old age, I don't know what's going to be. So he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want a child. But not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want a child that will be old enough when I die to take over all my possessions. That's what he wanted. That was the double pasuk over here. Yeah.
Eliezer
was run from who?
From Avram.
Well, if he's Og, then he's much older. Right? If he's not, then who knows? I really have no idea. But the suggestion was that, yeah. Maybe. I know. Why? It was only 40 years ago. Yeah.
I don't want him to give everything to Eliezer, and then his son would have inherited the slave, and then his son would have died.
See, the question is what the status of an Eved is by someone who's not Jewish. That's the halakha. What is the halakha? We know by Jews, right, Eved Kenani is inherited over to the next child. What's the status by an Eved Kenani? It's a great question. I don't have an answer to that question. Well, I do, based on the Gemara Kiddushin, but it's not an easy answer. And I think Avraham Avinu was worried, Mimonafshach, if I'm Jewish, then it'll go over. But if I'm not, then the Eved is Kona everything, and is Kona his own freedom. That's what you do. And by the way, you wouldn't do that. You'd give him everything. everything but one thing. And you'd say that the Evid is that one thing, and then automatically it gets inherited by the child. There's interesting ways of doing it, but that is one way. But the Malbim said something extreme. I've never heard this before. Okay, so I can't tell you that this is something I heard, but this is something crazy. He said, the reason why Avraham Avinu, he knew that God had promised him a child, but the reason why he was worried is because he believed that everything in the world runs by astrological signs. Everything went by the stars, and that everything was going through the way it was. And the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never corrected him on that. Although he told Avraham, Tzemi Tzagninus Shocha, go away from your astrology, he then said, the line that's given right after that in the Midrash is, he says, go away from the stars because your name is going to change. Avram can't have a child, but Avraham will have a child. What does that indicate? That indicates that the stars are true, and that I can't go against the stars. If the stars say you're not going to have a child, there's nothing I can do about that. And Avram, you know, Mamish thought it wasn't going to happen. Give me 1 second, David. Hashem's words were, you think that while Jupiter is in the east, you won't be able to give birth. That's what he said to Avram. You think, because you're born under whatever, it's not a constellation, but the planet of Jupiter, that because of that, you won't be able to give birth. What I'm going to do is move Jupiter to the west, says the Malbim. It's the Medrash, but the Malbim quotes this. And when Jupiter gets to the west, then you will be able to give birth. You won't be able to give birth now, but you'll be able to give birth then. Says the Malbim, it takes 12 years for Jupiter to appear from the east part of the sky to the west part of the sky. That's what the Malbim says. 12 years. At this moment, he was around 75 years old. Okay, I can't promise exactly when. If this is the Bris Ben of Solomon happened at 70, it would be a little bit off. But he might have been around 75 years old. He gave birth to Yishmael at the age of 86. That's around 12 years later. He was right, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm going to move Jupiter from one part of the sky to the other. He was working with astrology, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yeah, don't worry, wait a little bit. Now listen, 86 he had a child, right? Another 12 years later, he became 98, 99. At that age, he was told to have a bris milah, and he was promised he would have his second child, Yitzchak, at the age of 100. It's not a, like, this isn't like a little thing. He was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant it. When Jupiter is in the west, you'll be able to have a child. That's what's going to happen over here. I just have to move it to the west, and once that happens right there, Tiferes Yonason says, that's exactly what Avraham Avinu was worried about. Rabbi Yonason Eichitz, he says, if Jupiter is in the west, you know what that means? Jupiter's in the east, that means the sun is, the Jupiter is rising. I should put it over here. Jupiter is rising in the sky. That means you'll have a child, and you'll have a long time with them until you die. But if Jupiter is in the west, and the child is born, what does that sound like? It sounds like the child is going to be born, and then immediately afterward you're going to die. Said Avraham Avinu, I understand that Jupiter is going to move to the west and I'm going to have a child, but that means I'm going to have a child at the end of my life, and that means that this is going to happen. Somebody else is going to take over. Don't let that happen. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Avram would die right afterward, and you will. Avram will be gone because you're going to change your name to Avraham. Avram will be dead and Avraham will start to be up there. It's a crazy shot of the Malbim. Never heard anything like this in my life. I think that's one of the best stuff I've ever heard in how to understand this. What's up, David?
Isn't there a measure that when Hashem took Moshe out and he said, count the stars, this is going to be the amount of children that...
Yeah, you know. Avram, you know.
Avram, yeah.
That was my son, yeah.
Oh, so that was later.
This is right now.
So, I mean, wasn't there a measure that says Hashem took him above the stars to show him that the mazel is not
exactly that. This is it. Same exact shokan. Go above. Because why though? Because why? Because Avram will have this up until this point and it's gonna work. Avraham will be above the stars. That's exactly the point. But you're not Avraham yet, you're still Avram. Until you're Avraham, this is going to remain the way that it is. It's a crazy shot. It's one of those shots that it's a once in a lifetime ability from the Malbim. I didn't even understand it the first time I went through it. I looked through it again and a third time. I was like, wait a second. Are we positive this is what it's saying? But it, to me, I thought that was absolutely brilliant. Okay, the Moshe Sakenim also said something. He says the second pasuk over here was not like a normal thing. It was Moshe up in his speaking. Here's the shot. Here it is, right? The first pasuk is Avraham Avinu actually speaking. What are you going to give me? I'm childless. And the second pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu telling us, here's what Avraham meant. And that's what's going on here. It's not Avram speaking and then speaking again. It's Avram speaking and Moshe explaining what Avram was saying. That's what it is. I have never heard a shot like that ever regarding these types of psukim, but that's the Moshe of Zakenim. That's what he says over here. And then comes the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He was worried. Avram was honestly worried. He said, God, you told me I was going to have children, right? Does anybody know what the first promise given to Avram was? It was, you're going to have children like what?
Sand.
Like sand. Like dirt, really, is the word that's used over there, like upper, like the upper arts. Children like upper arts means you're going to have children who are ame haratzim, people that do not understand what, how things work, and that's that. Now, and you just said it, David, he told them, your children are going to be like the stars. We know stars are telling me the chachamim. Avram had a complaint to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He said, Hain li lo nasata zara. You did not give me children that are worthy of taking over my title. You're promising me children, but you're promising me ame aratzim. You're promising me, and excuse me for saying this, and every Arab out there should forgive me, you're promising me a Yishmol. I don't want a Yishmol. Yishmol is not good enough for me. I don't want, sorry, dirt. I want something more than that. And by the way, there's a connection. Remember why Avram Inu washed the feet of the Arabs when they came to him? Because they treated the dirt as their avodah zarah. And nobody bows down to dirt. That's not true. It's that the dirt is where they stem from. That's their power. That's their koach, so to speak. It's a different idea. He said, "Hein li lo nasata zarah. I want my legacy. If I want my legacy to be go, I can't have dirt children. I need to have star children, something better." And he was so audacious. Who would do this? Say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you promised me children. I believe you. I know I'm going to have children. They better be good. I want them good. I don't want Amir Atzim. I want somebody who's going to be worthy of going around and doing stuff like that. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu now describes them and says, like David said, they're going to be stars in the sky. They're going to be these awesome people in the sky. And that's when he placated Avram. Avram said, that's exactly what I was looking for. I wanted somebody to come and say, that's what I'm happy about. What are you going to
say? More vicious than Moshe Rabbeinu.
Oh, agreed. You don't find too many people doing it, but you do find that. Now, does anybody know this line, Bahadi Kavshi Drachmana Lamalach? You ever heard that before? Bahadi Kavshi Drachmana Lamalach. What are you doing with the... This is a godly problem. This has nothing to do with you. Come on. You have a mitzvah to do. You have a mitzvah to puravu and do whatever it is you're supposed to do in this world. Don't get involved in the nuances and the intricacies of how God runs the world. If God wants to give you Amir Atzim, He'll give you Amir Atzim. You don't question that. What question is it? What kind of a person would do that? Yes,
but at the same time, Avram was still like the founder of the nation.
Yeah.
Maybe you could say he has some say in that.
He has a higher expectation, so to speak. Yeah, I know, I hear you. But that's part of this. The line of Ahadi Kashi Rachman Alamo, Chizkiyahu HaMelech. I want you to imagine this, by the way. Chizkiyahu was the king of Klal Yisrael for 13, 14 years. He did not get married. He refused to get married. He's the king. But he refused to get married. Why? He couldn't get married because he saw in the stars that his child was going to be tremendously evil. So he didn't want to have a child that was going to be an evil child. So he was sick and dying, and Chizkiyahu and Yeshaya comes to visit him. Yeshayahu Hanavi comes to visit him and says, right, give your will because you're going to die. To which Chizkiyahu said, what did I do wrong? He said, you didn't have any children. He said, I didn't have any children because they're all going to be evil. He said, Bahadi Kavshi Drachman Alamalach. What are you getting involved with all the involved? You have to do the mitzvah, and whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, let it be. So Chizkiyahu said to him, give me your daughter, said Yeshayahu, give me your daughter as a wife. I'll marry your daughter, and with my schus and your schus, obviously not the daughter's schus, women don't have schus, come on, it's obvious, right? But between my schus and your schus, you look at me with raised eyebrows. No, don't worry. That's all, it's you. Don't worry. Okay? Deal with it, okay? It's just, that's the way it is. That's the Gemara. Anyway, but with my schus and your schus, maybe we'll be zocha to have a child where the child will end up being a big tzaddik. Maybe it'll happen. So Yeshaya said, nothing I can do. You're going to die anyway. To which he yelled at Yeshaya and he said, Ben Amotz, son of Amotz, Shayo Ben Amotz, Kalei Nebuas Kovetzei, finish your Nebuah and get out of here. Right? Because what did I learn? I've learned from my father's house, Afilu Cherev Chadam Unechaz Al-Tzor, so even if a sharp sword is on the neck of a person, Al Timnai, Al Yimna Atzmo Min Rachamim, do not stop davening. That's the line that Chizkiyahu used. He said it over to Yeshaya, and he was right. Chizkiyahu turned to the wall, and he davened, and he was given 15 extra years of life. He married the daughter of Yeshaya. He had a child, possibly two children. That child's name was Menashe, and he was horribly evil. horribly evil. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says why? Because the wife of Chizkiah, the daughter of Yeshayahu, had, she saw a certain Babylonian guard, and she thought of the guard, and she became pregnant, and the child acted like that guard. So that's the reason why, according to Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Very, very strange Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but he does say it. And at the end of the day, Menashe, although he may have done tshuva for the last 23 years of his life, but 22 years he was one of the most evil people out there, burning Sifrei Torah, a horrible, horrible person. According to Gemara, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Adav Sadi, Menashe has no chelik in Olam Haba. Chizkiyahu was right, but Bahari Kavshir Rachman Olam Haba. So why doesn't that apply over here? It could be that halakha applied differently before the Torah was given. Maybe it was different for Avraham Avinu than it was to anybody else. We felt it wasn't worth the Hadikash Rachman Alam Alok Avram, why are you not accepting it? Could be, maybe things were different at that time.
You think it should apply more by Avram Avinu?
Because before the Torah? I don't get why.
By Avram Avinu, all these words on the Amiratim, that's not something that the kids have control over.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. That's something that's straight out.
The kids control over their Rishon. If not,
you're getting into another issue, Ben, and it's a great, what you're saying is good, but the problem is that it seems, at least it seems, from the Gemara, that wisdom, whether he's going to be smart or dumb, is not necessarily in the hands of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Chacham Tipesh is, but meaning Yiras Shamayim and the ability to do the right thing or the wrong thing is not given by Hashem. That's the, Yidah, Lamed, right, all together. The Chassam Sofer, it says, it's not that Eliezer was good. Okay, you know what, we might have to skip that Chassam Sofer because we don't have that much time over here. The Ksava Kabbalah says the same thing. It's like a lesson of disrespect. But we're going to ask our last question. We're going to end with this question. We're going to have a couple answers to this, but I'm not going to go through all of it. The Ramban asks, why didn't Avram just trust Hashem implicitly? Hashem said, you're going to have a child. He said it in the beginning of Lech Lecha, right? He said, the word before that? I'm going to make you many. Arbez Zarech, I forgot what the wording is exactly. 7 psukim later, he says it again. Once he goes to Eretz Canaan, he says, you're going to have more children. A couple psukim later, he says it a third time. 3 times, he's told he's going to have children. Why wouldn't he trust the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Why wasn't he trusting him there? Did he not believe Hashem's words? And he answers, says the Ramban, a tzaddik always worries, Shema Yigrom Hachet. Avram was worried, maybe he did something wrong, to deserve to lose. I shouldn't say deserve, but he ended up losing the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem promised him he would have children, but, you know what? Said he can think, maybe I messed up. And every time you have the opportunity to ask again, Hashem, can I have children? You ask again, and you ask again, and you keep asking. You ask it a second time, and a third time. You keep doing it. Yaakov thought the exact same thing when he's going up against Esav. Hashem had just told him, Shmarticha b'chol asher teleich, I'll watch over you wherever you go. But Yaakov was worried. Shema Yigrom Hachetz. Maybe I sinned in between. I'm not sure. And because I might have sinned, maybe I won't be Zohar. And that's what he's worried about. The Chizkuni says the exact same thing. At first he thought Hashem was telling him he was going to have Zohar children through his tefillah. Right? But when he saw that he'd been davening for many years and it wasn't happening yet, he thought, you know what? Maybe my Chatoim are stopping me. So he said to Hashem, please Hashem, I know. Maybe I messed up. Please forgive me. Let me have children. So he's not saying, God, I don't believe you. He's saying, God, I believe you that you want to give me children, but I think I'm messing it up. That's the attitude, by the way, that we have to have when it comes to Mashiach. I believe that Mashiach is coming. I also believe that my sins are pushing him off. That's what I have to believe. Do I say, well, maybe Mashiach isn't coming because he hasn't been here in so long and I keep davening for it and it's not happening? The answer is no. No, that's not the way to look at it. It's not going to be that way. The problem is that we can't think directly when it comes to this. We have no idea what we're doing wrong. It's us. We are the issue, so to speak. That's the way we have to look at it.
This wasn't just a regular promise, though, was it?
So that's the problem. Rav Wolfson brings that up. He says, this was not just a promise. This was a poel dimyoni. There was something where he showed him with a nevuah. Pol dimyoni means something that he was able to see in front of him as if there was a nevuah with a vision. A vision you can't take back. Before the Bris Ben Hamitzvah. Is the Bris Ben Hamitzvah right now. So how in the world could he think this promise didn't come back? He showed him a pol dimyoni. He showed him what to do to go to Eretz Canaan, etc. So Wolfson answers that there are two different types. He thought that the nevuah could be accomplished by having Talmidim. that a holy neshama would be considered like a child. And to that, Avraham Avinu wanted a holy guf. And he said, and it's obvious, to inherit to your son, to your child, to anyone, your spiritual kohos can happen without them being your child. I can give that over, so to speak. Anybody can give that over. But to give over your own personal kohos, and this is what we were talking about in the very beginning, the idea of Avraham Avinu saying, but I don't want Eliezer, I want something more than that. Says for Wolfson, that took a challenge. That was there. And Avraham Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not ready yet. You want to give spiritual kohos over to your kid? You need a bris milah first. You cannot have your spiritual side go over to your kid until you're fully spiritual. You need the bris milah. Only after the bris milah is that going to happen. And the Sfasam is, and it ends with this, says the greatness of Avraham Avinu, the greatness of Avraham Avinu is totally different from what we said up above. His greatness is that he always went into every situation as if Hashem had never promised him anything at all, as if he wasn't assured of anything in life. There are people who have become, who are very, very wealthy people, who have told their children, listen, I am not going to help you. Now, on one hand, that's very, very cruel. But it also can make the child into a much greater person. If the son is always waiting for his father to take care of him in case he fails, that if he steps back and he just falls, his dad's always going to pick him up. Then he's not going to try very hard. He's not going to do what he needs to do to be successful. He'll do whatever, you know, he'll work or whatever, but he always needs to do something else. If there's always something, a safety net, and it's hard. And I'll tell you honestly, I have that safety net. My dad has always promised me that if anything happens, he'll take care of me. So that's a challenge for me, because that means I'm not going to try so hard. Because why should I? My dad will always take care of me, right? He'll always be there for me. So that's the idea. The idea is, says the Sfasam, is that Avraham Avinu made sure he never went into life with any promises, no matter what he was said. When a person is given a promise, he'll be more lax, whatever. This time he refused to listen to the promises of God. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know you promised me over and over and over again that I'll have a child. I know and I believe it. It's mamish in my head. But I can't go into life thinking that way. That means that I'm going to stop doing what I need to do. I'm going to keep doubting. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep going as if you never said anything at all. And that's why I said, and that's why I think, according to Sfas Emes, he would say the pasuk twice. Do you know how crazy that is? Avraham says, you never gave me any children. And then goes back, you never gave me any children. He Mamash went into it again and again and again, saying, but I still don't have children. Thinking that the promises are not something that I'm going to rely on. I'm not going to rely on those. I'm going to keep asking for it again and again and again until I get it. That's what I'm doing. Not in a complaint way. In a fact of life way. This is what I need, Akadosh Baruch Hu. Please help me get it. Alright guys, what we went through was who Eliezer was, the different reasons behind where he comes from. And then we go into the Ramosha, everything else regarding this Rabbi Eliezer of Avraham. We'll stop with this, guys. Have a great